Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast, and today we're continuing the interview that I began yesterday with Dr. Richard Ruling. He's a frequent guest on our program discussing current events in the news, Bible prophecy, and things that he sees from the scriptures as about to happen in these end times in which we live. And we're discussing that, of course, but I also wanted to ask him, we had mentioned in one of the prior programs about the correlation between Homeland Security running these massive practice drills and then almost immediately afterwards a major event happening right in the area in which they were practicing these drills. Coincidence? A couple times possibly, but we're going to talk more about that today. Back into the interview now with Dr. Richard Ruling. Talk also about major Homeland Security drills taking place in California as they anticipated the big one, the big earthquake.
Yes.
And you said that you believe the government knows something that they're not telling us, because it seems like every time they do one of these drills, something significant happens in the area that they were in. Do you have anything new to shed light on that as far as...
I believe that California is still online, but in the around the time of Second Passover, we did have a significant sign. I believe 2 Peter 3 verse 7 talks about things that are quotes reserved unto fire for the day of judgment, and that's Hawaii. Mm-hmm. You know, Hawaii yeah. has had ongoing stuff, and fire is there. You know, and I just say. It was timely, coming in the spring and marking this year, and it's not over yet in Hawaii.
Right.
You know, so
yeah.
my point is that we didn't see the big one, but I believe if we see Jerusalem destroyed, we will get the big one next spring at Second Passover. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and there was on the news a new island was formed in Hawaii from
Interesting.
This volcanic activity.
It
showed the like time lapse where you know the bubbles uh-huh. were in the ocean, and suddenly the steam started coming up and the rocks started forming. So they got a new island out of this deal now.
Wow!
But I wouldn't want to live there.
Well, I wouldn't either. In fact, in Revelation, speaking of the plagues at the end, it says that every island disappeared.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And hey, you know, I believe that. In the end time, if we are God's or Christ's, it says in Galatians 3:29, if you are Christ's, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Mm-hmm.
That promise was promise of land. And the Israelites did not want to go to that land, the promised land, because of giants.
Yeah.
But today we have giant problems, and so I believe in the end time, it's going to be a test again. But I believe there will be a new world order set up that will compel false worship.
Mm.
But in the land of the covenant, God will defend His covenant-keeping people. I believe He said He would in Exodus 34, verse 10 and 11. He says, "Behold, I make a covenant with you, and it's a terrible thing I'm going to do. I'm going to drive out the Canaanite." And the Hittites and all those. And I believe that He will somehow protect us in a time when otherwise there will be oppression, there will be compelling. You can't buy or sell without a certain mark and so on. I believe if we see Jerusalem destroyed, it will make people that aren't Christians and aren't that don't know God afraid of what's over there. But I believe if we really trust God, we should be willing to consider the Bible evidence. The new covenant promise that He's going to put His law in our hearts has the context of us going there. It
yeah.
says, people can read it if they want, your listeners, either in Jeremiah 31, there are several verses. He says, I'll bring them from the north country, which was Babylon, gather them from the coast, the lame, the blind, the woman with child, a great company will return there. And verse 16 says, you'll come again from the land of the enemy. And verse 17 says, you'll come to your own borders. Now, this is talking, Jeremiah was talking to Jewish Israelites, you know, and so the land of their fathers was, you know, that's Abraham and that promised land. It's not about America being a promised land.
Right.
We have gone the wrong direction in morality wise.
Oh, yeah.
So that we it's over basically. And Jeremiah 30 verse 11 says God's going to make a full end of all other nations,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to be up here when the full end is made.
Amen. Amen. Before we get to the next question, I just wanted to, we're talking there for a minute about the Homeland Security drills. Well, I got
right.
one for you. You heard about the Capital Gazette newspaper shooting in Annapolis, Maryland. It was all
yes, vaguely.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the shooter went inside, started shooting up the place and killing people. The first officer was on the scene in 60 seconds. The second
wow.
one was 30 seconds behind him, and then the two of them both made immediate entry, and the gunman surrendered and all that before any more people were killed. Fox News reported that these officers had undergone active shooter training with this major event practice, Homeland Security uh-huh. practice drill, on June 22nd, about 1 week prior to that incident. And it was because the police and fire department wanted to have an exercise where they worked together in case something
uh-huh.
like this ever happened. And then
uh-huh.
less than a week later, something happened.
It happened.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So when I heard that, my spidey sense started tingling,
Yeah.
I picked up on that just from our conversations before. I mean, as soon as I said that, I'm bam, wow, there it is again,
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible.
More, I think it's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, let's talk politics for a minute.
Okay.
Tell me what you see happening concerning, let's say, Trump and the president of North Korea, or Trump and China, or Trump and the new UN, or Trump and NATO. Oh, and let's not forget Trump and Russia. So there's
okay.
one common denominator in all of that. But
that's Trump. Well, I believe that, first of all, because we are living at a strategic time and Trump is the president, I believe he is going to be there, okay? And the imagery of Daniel 8 does suggest that. In Daniel 8:17, Gabriel tells Daniel that this vision is at the time of the end. And it was really about the ram and the goat, which in the text says that the horns on the ram were the kings of Media and Persia, which today would be Iraq and Iran, Persia's
mm-hmm.
being Iran.
Yep.
And those horns got broken by a goat that had that flew from the west, and it had a great horn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the Bible, horns were used to make trumpets.
Yeah.
When they blew the ram's horn, it was a trumpet. Blow the trumpet.
Yeah.
And my point is that there's a great horn on this goat, or great trumpet. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that, and that's what does it to this ram. And I believe that we'll be seeing historic events. And by the way, the reading carefully Daniel 8, it supports the end time application better than Alexander the Great. Most people reading that think Alexander the Great conquered the Medes and Persians, Battle of Arbela, 331 BC. But it says that the goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth.
Yeah.
And Alexander the Great did not come from the whole earth, he just came from Grecia. But our coalition back with against Iraq came from South America, Canada,
mm-hmm.
Bosnia, Australia, troops from Korea, etc.
Yep.
So all over the world supported that that movement or war, and it says that it touched not the ground. Well, Alexander the Great didn't have airplanes, but we didn't. It was the first historic war fought in the air,
yeah.
really, Desert Storm, etc.
Yep.
So worrying fits, and Daniel was by the river Ulai when he saw this confrontation of the ram and the goat. But the river Ulai is about 700 miles from the Battle of Arbela, where Alexander the Great won the battle. But river Ulai is in Kuwait, where we deployed our troops.
Yeah.
So, hello. All of that, I just want to encourage your audience to read the Bible closely. And I think it will be of interest to them.
Wow. Now, Hey, man, I mean, this is so interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got to look at it. But you say, let's go back to the destruction of Jerusalem again. You said that's the first sign of the end times. But isn't there all these other signs supposed to take place first?
Well, first of all, coming events cast their shadow ahead of time. In other words, you see the shadow events, but they're not the, you know, lots of people think, but every little earthquake really isn't the big one, you know. But there will be something that will be devastating and get our attention, I believe. And we're just not there yet, but I believe we're rapidly approaching it. And so, and you mentioned the destruction. See, destruction of Jerusalem is really the first thing in Matthew 24.
Yeah.
They came out of the temple. The disciples said, look at these great pillars. And Christ shook his head and said, not one pillar will be on the other, or not one stone on the other. And some of those stones are, you know, at the Wailing Wall, they're still on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But something big's going to happen, I think. And I don't know whether Iran will really be responsible or whether they'll be blamed for it. Because some of it can happen that way, too, you know. Well, not everything is as it seems, but... Anyhow, on the topic of destruction of Jerusalem, I have a book even today. It's 99 cents on Amazon, and I has a lot in it. And I believe, in fact, it has one article that I previously posted on the internet before it's news.com, and it's had nearly 15,000 reads or views.
Wow. Yeah.
So people find it of interest, and I think your audience would too if they would go to. Amazon, type in my name, Richard Ruling. The Ruling has an H in it, R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And it might be the first book up, Destruction of Jerusalem. But 99 cents, why not? You know, and if they don't have a Kindle, they can get an app to read it on their computer or PC, might be helpful, you know. Would be.
Richard. Yeah, and let's talk about your book again for a couple minutes. What's the name of it again?
The Destruction of Jerusalem, and then the subtitle is A Sign for U.S. of Good News Amid Impending Calamity. Because I believe we're going to get judgment, but the good news is that the bridegroom comes. The wedding parables fit this perspective, and I believe if, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, the Parade magazine Sunday Supplement had an article on A Dozen Ways to Get Rich. And in my opinion, most of them won't work, but marriage could work for us. And it's marrying the bridegroom, Christ.
Yeah, right.
You know, if we can do that, I believe. But it's reserved for, you know, when, first of all, the wedding parables imply that they're not understood. Each wedding parable has that idea. In Matthew 22, the invitation to the wedding feast is scorned and ridiculed by most people.
Right.
But God is sending his servants to bid people to the wedding feast. So if we're his servants, and thank you for your role in this and helping people to understand, it's not about a rapture to heaven where we're snatched and out of here.
Right.
It's in the Bible times, Israel was, let me just say this, God executed judgment on Egypt. They killed the babies, and we've aborted 60 million. They enslaved people, Israelites, and we've enslaved nearly all in alcohol, tobacco, drugs. We call it health care, but it's a leading cause of death. And we have people in bondage to food, fashion, fiction, greed, gambling, sex, perversion, violence, etc.
Yeah.
You know, and so we celebrate our freedoms, but it's really a freedom to choose our way to dying. You know, it's not good, and so we don't burn it out.
I think I read something on your website or somewhere that said it was during my research period that said that we imprison more per capita than communist China does. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. That's true. And you can find it so per capita. You know, China has lots of people. You know,
right,
but anyway.
But still, per capita, I mean, that's a lot, you know.
Well, and I have a friend that made a stupid mistake, and he rightly was punished for it. But even after he's out 15 years later, He still has to wear an ankle bracelet, and if he goes into some place, a store or something, sometimes it goes off. He's not free, though he's paid his price. And we've got a system of bondage, and the prisons, district attorneys make their career over how many people they can prosecute and get into jail.
Right.
And people sometimes plead guilty even if they're not, because they're afraid they can't beat the system, and then they get a plea bargain where they'll get a lighter sentence if they just plead guilty, and that's bad too.
Yep. Exactly. That's one of the reasons why you get all these people going to jail saying they didn't do it, but they couldn't prove it. You know?
And later the DNA proves it, and this guy's been there 30 years. This is why Daniel portrays governments and nations as fierce beasts of prey. God knew. I mean, it wasn't Daniel. God showed him the vision. This is a beast, a lion, a bear, a leopard, a dragon. That's what we are.
That's right. Back on your book for a second. Why did you think it was? Why do you think this is the time when that book needed to be written?
Okay, good question. First of all, there's two versions of this. One is that in 2015, seven events of a when-then nature point to the beginning of end times in 2015. Joel 2:31 says, "The sun will be darkened, the moon turned to blood before the day of the Lord." And the word for before is panim, means facing the day of the Lord. And when we had a rare solar eclipse on the equinox, followed by a blood moon on Passover 2 weeks later, it matched the timing that I think God said in Exodus 12:2, "This is the beginning of the month, the first month of the year, to you." They were looking at the new moon, I believe, in the spring, and 2 weeks later they put blood on the doorpost. God put it on the moon. A couple years ago, three actually. And my point is before Titus came in 70 A.D., another Roman general, Cestius, came 3 years earlier. And I believe the events of 2015 were a three-year warning. We had also in 2015 the peace and safety agreement. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 and 3, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night when they're saying peace and safety.
Yeah.
Sudden destruction comes. And it says, as travail on a woman with child. Now that's Egypt. Egypt travailed with God's firstborn with a sudden calamity or judgment, and I believe we will also, but if we're waiting for Jerusalem first, I think. Another thing, the gay marriage was in 2015 by the Supreme Court, the Pope's visit by in the U.S. Congress, and then the Pope went to the U.N. on the Day of Atonement. And to make that significant, I've got to explain to you, some of your readers, and I know you are familiar with Daniel 9:24-5, when it says 70 weeks are determined upon your people, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
The 70 weeks were 77s of years.
Mm-hmm.
70 times 7 were 490 years that were determined from a decree to rebuild Jerusalem. And we're talking about a repeat of history, about rebuilding Jerusalem. And I believe those time periods will reapply, not on a yearly basis, but on a day. See, the Bible in Ezekiel 4, 6, 5, and 6 talks about a day for a year, a day for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so in history, it was a year's time to give us the big picture broad over the centuries and millenniums. But in the end time, it will be literal day for a day time. And but my point is that the 490 years were also 10 jubilees. Jubilees came in the Bible in Leviticus 25 every 49 years, because the 50th year was number one of the next sequence. And it was weeks of years, 7, 7, 7. So when you got to 50, it was also number one. And so that prophecy began with a jubilee event that gave Jews freedom, and they got their land back in Jerusalem. But if you fast forward, not 10 jubilees to Christ's time, but 50 jubilees to our time, it comes out to 1995 when Pope John Paul went to the UN also on the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement was the day, the only day in the Bible to proclaim Jubilee. So high significance, I mean, one chance in 365 that the Pope would end up on. In other words, nothing happens by chance with God, you know. And so it to me, it marked the end of 50 Jubilees. But if you, there's one other fact, and it's to answer your question well, why now? And we're 20 years past there, but in 2 Peter 3:8, Peter says, "Be not ignorant. With God, 1,000 years is like a day, and day is like 1,000 years. God is not slack. The day of the Lord will come." That's verses 8 to 10. And my point is that if you try to put the Jubilees into 1,000 years, you have 490 years makes 10 Jubilees, and another 10 make 980. There are 20 years left over at the end of all these Jubilees, and they're marked by the papal visits 20 years apart from 1995 to 2015.
And isn't it remarkable that they decided to go to the UN on the Day of Atonement?
Yes.
Well, any of the, twice in a row?
I specifically remember in 1995, because I was watching the news event, that the Jews celebrated the Day of Atonement the day before. But they're watching a dark moon. They're watching NASA. NASA says the new moon is at 11 o'clock at night or midnight or whatever it is. It's when the moon passes between the Earth and the sun. But there's no, you cannot see the moon that night because the sun is not shining on it. It's in between. Right. Yeah. So it takes 24 hours, and it's a day later usually when the sun can shine on the thin crescent. And that, I believe, is what God was telling Moses. This is the beginning of the month. They weren't staring at a blank sky. Right. You know, basically, I think Moses saw the crescent moon. And in Psalm 81:3, it says, "Blow up the trumpet in the new moon." Well, how would they blow up a trumpet if they didn't see something? Right. I believe the moon was for a sign. Genesis 1:14 says, "I'll give you the sun and moon for signs and seasons." And if you don't see something, not until NASA, when it tells us the exact incident. Through history, they've watched for the crescent as a new moon and a new month. That's what the meaning was. So, and that's what I'm looking for. I see the meaning counted from a crescent moon, not a dark moon.
Amen, amen. Yeah, I'm fascinated with that. You know, I've gotten several books. I can go back and dig one out and catch up on it. But it was talking about, and you're probably an expert on this, about the coming of Jesus, the days of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, are all tied into the feasts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe that, but unfortunately, most readers believe that the spring feasts have all been fulfilled, and they're just looking for the fall. And my point is that, first of all, the Passover was not only a time of sacrifice, which Christ fulfilled fully, and to me it would be a rebuke or a spurning of God's sacrifice in Christ for the Jews to have another temple and start sacrificing again. That's baloney. You know, it's been fulfilled. That's not a part of true Scripture at all. And I don't believe the Jews are going to be saved a different way. I believe that in the end, the Jews are going to have to accept Christ, and if their temple, you know, they should have gotten the message in 70 A.D. that this is the wrong system, but they're going to have a new, updated message soon, I think. And if Christ comes in judgment on America at Second Passover, it should signal to honest Jews who are really biblical that he was the master in his last parable who took the long journey, because Christ finished all of his parables after five women missed the wedding. He says, "Watch, you don't understand. It's like a man traveling to a far country."
Yeah.
And he gave to each of his stewards talents to work on, but he will return from the far country. And see, the thing is, Numbers 9, verse 10 and 11, the Jews know, or should know, if they read their Torah or law, that Passover is second month if you're on a long journey. Israelites didn't travel in the winter, but if they took a long journey in spring and they couldn't get back for Passover, they were still to keep it the second month. And that's the point. Christ is going to return at second Passover from a long journey. He went to heaven. Hello? Yeah. Long journey.
It's a long
and he's
journey.
Coming back on time, Amen. For judgment. So that's my perspective. And my book explains this and a lot of other things, too, that I think your readers, your listeners might appreciate if they wanted to get a copy. So anyway.
Tell us one more time how our listeners can get a copy of this book.
Go to Amazon, type in my name as an author, just Richard Ruhling, R-U-H-L-I-N-G, has an H in it, and then it should come up, or Destruction of Jerusalem, and it's 99 cents today, so it won't break anybody. And if they would find something they like in it, well, not just like is 4 stars. If you love it, it's 5 stars.
we need 5 stars there.
Yeah.
Amen.
The promise that he will make us ruler over all that he has is for those servants, and it explains how we can do that. So anyway, they should love that, and write a short little review of what you like about the book, and God bless you. I appreciate
it. Amen. I'll be going on there as soon as we get it done here. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm an avid reader. I read at least 20 to 25 books a year, I guess. So that's 2 a month. In between everything that I got going on, I always still find time to read about an hour or so a day, in addition to my normal scripture readings and stuff. But how I relax. That's my wind down time is my reading time,
God bless you.
So, praise God. Doctor, I appreciate you taking the time out to come visit with us.
Well,
it seems like the clock's run out on us.
Understand.
I look forward to talking with you, because you're so spot on and up to date with everything going on in the news, and you put that spiritual perspective into it. That you're like, oh, wow, hand slap to the forehead. Why didn't I think of that type of thing?
Well, I'm humbled, and you're so sweet. You've got a great attitude, and I think we have to, like parachutes, keep an open attitude, because it's going to get us if we don't. And if things happen big a month from now in Jerusalem, let's talk again.
Amen. Yeah, anytime you see something going on, just give me a shout-out, and we'll get you scheduled. But, folks, that's all the time we have for today. I highly encourage you, go to Amazon, get Dr. Ruhling's new book, The Destruction of Jerusalem. It's 99 cents. Go in there, grab it, read it, leave a review. And let's make this book go viral and spread the word around the world. That's our mission, today. Get the word out. And we need to do it in all these available voices. So, Doctor, again, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to visit with us. We look forward to having you back again.
You bless me. Bless you, too. God bless you.
Amen.
Thanks.
Folks, bye-bye. For Dr. Ruhling and myself, this is Pastor Bob Tiller reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but and only a Christian can become a faith caster. Faith Casters, your voice, your platform, your success.